This is the Casual Heroes, saving the world tomorrow. The Casual Heroes. The Casual Heroes. Wrestling, sports, movies, interviews. The Casual Heroes are Chris, Gavin, and Jed.
Starts now.
Here's the fellas.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CasualHeroes.com WrestleCast. We are... I get tired of saying we're back.
We're here for our irregular visit.
We're here, okay?
Jed, shouldn't you have interrupted Chris by now?
We ain't going nowhere. Body count, motherfucker. We're moving right next door to you.
I have no idea what song that's from.
It's from a Body Count song. Did you miss the part where I said body count?
Yes.
Okay.
Mark's here. Jed's here. Jed's sick. Poor Jed.
Poor I'm sick.
Jed. No one cares.
It's the Mark show.
And Gavin's here and I'm here. Okay. Got that out of the way. Royal Rumble happened two nights ago. And the rumor, as I have confirmed with my sources from Mark's sources, is that there was an audible call, Gavin.
Yeah.
That they tossed out Reigns so that Triple H would get booed when he tossed out Ambrose.
See.
Do you think there was an audible call?
Sure, whatever.
Okay.
That's that level of interest that keeps people listening to this podcast.
Like, if Gavin's not going to try...
Of all the things that happened in the Royal Rumble, that's maybe the least important.
I'll give him
or
that.
At least the least interesting to me. Probably the most important, the least interesting to me.
Okay, well, let me rephrase the question, Gavin.
Wow. You sure did rephrase the question.
Well, almost. He hasn't completed it yet.
Should of an audible been called?
I'm still not sure what you're trying to say, but...
No.
Did Timmy come to the well, Lassie?
I think they're correct in saying that Triple H was only going to be booed by eliminating someone other than Roman Reigns. So if they wanted Triple H to be booed, it was going to have to be Ambrose or someone else.
Okay, that works. Jed, was it the right call?
I'm completely lost. What was the audible from?
Can I do this part?
Sure.
Okay. So originally it was supposed to come down to Reigns and Triple H. All 28 other guys were supposed to be eliminated, and Reigns and Triple H were going to be the last people in there, and then Triple H was going to eliminate Reigns, win the title. That was always the thing. However, because it's Orlando and we're really smarky and it's a pay-per-view crowd and we live in an ironic world, the crowd reacted to everything opposite the way they were supposed to and booed Reigns mercilessly the moment he showed up on camera. So I'm not even sure the spot where they worked him over and stretchered him out was supposed to be in the Rumble. From what I understand, they threw that out there so they had a chance for him to come back and rewrite the ending backstage, which then was eliminate Roman Reigns, then have a little mini match with Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose gets the crowd on his side. Everyone's hoping against hope that maybe he wins instead of Triple H. Triple H unceremoniously dumps him out and gets booed by the crowd as he should have been all along.
You know, it was a really good Royal Rumble.
That's not what Bret Hart said. With you.
What Bret Hart said otherwise?
Yes. Bret Hart said it's the worst Royal Rumble he's ever seen.
Oh, thanks, Bret. But I had a really good time with that Royal Rumble, and everything had its own little story. It was like, you know, it was the closest thing to the 92 Rumble in about 10 years now. And I had a really good time with it, and I didn't know I was supposed to hate it.
Well, Bret Hart said you were.
Being there live, I can tell you, I was really surprised. The audible worked for me. When they dumped out Roman Reigns and there was that, you know, there was like the smark in me knew Triple H was going to win the title because I know what's, you know, what they're trying to plan for WrestleMania. At least I thought I did. But there was still that like fan in me who was really caught up in the moment, and all that stuff sort of went away. And I thought for just a hot second that Dean Ambrose might come away with the title. And that made it fun for me. I mean, there were other parts of it that were fun too. You know, I screamed when AJ Styles came out. There were some other bits in the Rumble that I enjoyed. But I mean, overall, the entire pay-per-view, even, you know, with the Kalisto Del Rio match in the middle, was fun. I thought time sort of flew by and I wasn't really ever bored.
Hey, I guess me. I had such a good time with that. Like, it was like my favorite pay-per-view in a long time. All the matches were good, you know, including like the dumb ones. And I just, you know, I didn't have a single complaint with the, you know, like my only complaint would be like, oh, the guy I wanted to win didn't show up. And the other guy I wanted to win is having shoulder surgery. And, you know, like, other than that, like, what is my complaint? It was done well. They got us to the end of embarrassing ourselves.
I was going to say, you and I sort of had the same reaction, though, to the Kevin Owens-Dean Ambrose match, which was, Jesus, where do they go from here? And I said that, your comment to me in our chat was, the pay-per-view peaked with the first match. And I said, yeah, I said something similar to my wife, which was basically, where the fuck do they go after that match? I mean, that could have been a main event in any other pay-per-view. Certainly, it was something I thought they should have built to. It was weird that they started that way because it's like nothing. I mean, the New Day had a similar level of interest from the crowd, so that worked. But in terms of like sheer violence and work and all that stuff in the ring, nothing else matched up to it. And I guess putting it on first was so that they could do double duty. So I understood that point, you know, pacing it that way. But in terms of like, you know, the normal sort of build towards the action, it was completely out of place.
Was it, Jed, was it the right call for Triple H to get the title?
Yeah, sure. I mean, why not? You need a strong heel to have the belt for when Reigns takes it. Like, I don't know what anybody else's, like, argue is.
Well, I mean, argument.
Sure.
Listen to Chris getting picky over words.
I know. Wait, fuck you, dude.
Reigns hasn't had the belt that long, and they, like, just from an outside perspective, it seems like he hot potatoes it. He won it, lost when it was cashed in, won it back.
Do you not remember The Rock and Mick Foley trading the belt every other week for 3 months?
No.
Or Daniel Bryan?
No.
Chris doesn't remember these things.
Yeah, I understand the point you're trying to make, but it's not a relevant point. They do this all the time to build people up.
Here was my initial thought. My initial thought was, why have Triple H win the Royal Rumble when you can accomplish the same goal from a storyline perspective by simply having him eliminate Roman Reigns but not win the Royal Rumble? Because he still costs Roman Reigns the title, and you could use that opportunity to put the belt on someone else, such as Bray Wyatt, Kevin Owens, somebody that hasn't had it before that positions them in a new...
Gavin, you're lagging. Spot.
I'm stoked it was Gavin lagging, not me.
Yeah, it's Gavin lagging.
Okay, well, I want to play devil's
advocate. How badly am I lagging?
Very badly.
I want to play devil's advocate to Gavin's point, and I'll restate it since he sounded like he was...
How do we fix that?
Having a computer underwater.
We'll or hang not. Up and call you back, Gavin. Go ahead.
Call my actual number instead of Skype.
Okay. See you, Gav.
Can I?
Yeah, go ahead. Show?
Okay, great. So Gavin's point, and I'm with him with this because I kind of had the same reaction to Jesus. Why Triple H? Why not put somebody else in that role who's a full time member of the roster or Brock Lesnar? And build up. Actually, let's take Brock Lesnar out of there. Build up somebody new. Give somebody an opportunity to sort of take that brass ring, as Vince McMahon says, you know, and be the uber heel going into the main event at WrestleMania. Here's the problem. Storyline-wise, kind of doesn't work, and here's why. This is so bad. I can hate the show.
What do you expect, Mark?
I agreed.
So go ahead, Mark.
So should I bother trying to continue? Or...
No, Mark already made your point and is arguing with himself.
This is a schizophrenic podcast that this is.
Can you at least do it in different voices, Mark?
So a couple months back, they already had Roman Reigns go crazy and beat the shit out of Triple H. Storyline-wise, he has to come back and get his against Roman Reigns. Now, I understand what Gavin's saying. Like, okay, he did come back. He did get him back and everything. But when you're thinking about all the people that are injured and all the people they could put at the top of the card that are main event ready for WrestleMania, I can see the backstage point that but who better than Triple H? Who better than Canyon or Triple H? So if you're trying to put somebody new into that spot,
if somebody's going to win the match, it may as well be the guy that picks who wins, right?
Well, I guess my point being that they've lost a lot of their main event people, and WrestleMania is sold out anyway, but you know they still want people to get the network and watch and everything, and they still want to make this a huge event. You want to put somebody in there who, I think is obviously ready for the main event, more than ready, been there before. Why not? They have a ready-made story for him. Why not go with that? He was almost the obvious choice. Would I have liked to have seen somebody else? Sure, but I want to see somebody else regardless. You know, I want to see new people get pushed and be successful in the WWE. But they went with this story where Reigns beat the shit out of Triple H. They might as well take it to its logical conclusion, which is Reigns wins back the title at WrestleMania from Triple H.
And I can get behind that, but just for the sake of playing devil's advocate, my argument would be WrestleMania is sold out. People are going to watch it regardless. And the world title doesn't have to main event WrestleMania. It's the one show of the year where you don't have to main event with the world title. Flair and Savage went on in the mid-card at WrestleMania 8. The Undertaker is always the biggest attraction at WrestleMania, whether he should be or not. And so there's a complete opportunity to use this as a soft reset for the main event picture and move someone else up. I understand why they went with Triple H, and I understand why it's Triple H versus Roman Reigns at the top of the card. I just think it's kind of lazy storytelling in that they could have gotten the exact same effect simply by having Triple H eliminate Reigns and then having someone dump Triple H. And not only does that free up the world title and the main event spot for some new faces, it also opens up the idea of a new feud for Triple H once his business is done with Reigns because someone screwed up his plan in the Royal Rumble. I think it's also worth noting that Roman Reigns is a terrible friend for not helping Dean Ambrose after it was clearly established that people can just come back in the ring and throw people out whenever they want.
Well, I will agree with Bret Hart if that he's looking at this from kayfabe point of view and logic point of view and seeing things like the entire Wyatt family eliminating Brock Lesnar and after they've already been eliminated, I see his point and I agree with him. I just don't care enough for it to have ruined my enjoyment of the Royal Rumble.
Faces aren't supposed to do that stuff, though.
What do you mean?
Faces aren't supposed to interfere in matches.
Oh, you're talking about Roman Reigns coming in for Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
On one hand, they're not supposed to. On the other hand, the guy that they're modeling him after in Stone Cold did that sort of stuff all the time.
Yeah, but this is so different than the Stone Cold Vince McMahon thing. If you compare the amount of times Vince got over on Stone Cold and then Stone Cold got over on Vince, Stone Cold always had the edge over Vince. You know, for every time Stone Cold got dragged out in handcuffs or got tied up in the ropes and hit over the head by Boss Man's stick or whatever, there were three events where Steve got over on The Rock or Vince or Shane. I mean, whether it was a beer bath, a series of stunners, you know, whatever, you know, a bedpan to the head. It was always, you know, that's what made it fun, at least for me as a viewer, is that more often than not, Steve, you know, was Bugs Bunny to Vince McMahon's Elmer Fudd. The ratio is completely different with Vince, with Triple H, and especially Stephanie McMahon. I mean, Stephanie McMahon, it's like 99.
No one ever gets anything over on them.
No, yeah. I mean, Triple H at least allowed Roman Reigns to kick the shit out of him. And every once in a while, he does take a beating from somebody. The only time I've ever seen anyone get over on Stephanie McMahon that I can recall is last year's WrestleMania with Ronda Rousey. Like, you know, she like
Jericho made fun of her once.
Yeah. She's not really giving in terms of putting other people over. What she does do really, really well is run down the roster.
She does do that very effectively.
Yeah.
It's a skill.
I thought the Rumble as a whole was good. I thought the surprise entrance of AJ Styles at number three was nice. I thought the crowd reaction to him was good. The fact that they kept chanting for him even after he was eliminated probably got on some people's bad side backstage, because they don't like it when people are too popular too quickly. Overall, I thought AJ performed well in the Rumble. I thought Chris Jericho was weird in the Rumble because he just sat in the corner, and I was pretty sure he was injured in some form or fashion. And it did my heart very good to see Sami Zayn eliminate Kevin Owens and finally get something over on Kevin's team.
Yeah, that was cool. I always make it a rule to not complain about guys being lost in battle royals like that. Because, I mean, like, really, what the fuck are you going to do? Like, it's too much of a mess to, like, really point out, hey, you're doing nothing. But at least...
The only reason I say that about Jericho is because it became very obvious. Because when Brock came in and was just going to work on everybody, he actually walked over to Jericho. And Jericho kind of mumbled something, and Brock just sort of moved on and didn't pay any attention to Jericho. And it became very obvious that Jericho wasn't doing anything for whatever reason.
Well, what the fuck, dude? Your guy, fucking Goldust, stopped heels from eliminating people like over and over again. He would just run up and club a heel back. Huh?
I understand. Like, I'm not overtly criticizing Jericho. I just thought it was weird.
I honestly did not pay that close enough attention to that level of detail to be able to really add anything to this. I mean, I've read other people's thing about how, Jericho just sort of laid in the corner, and some people commented on 411. There wasn't a tremendous amount of activity from a lot of the wrestlers. A lot of people just kind of taking naps or whatever. Now, granted, I was at the Rumble with my family, and my son at this point was, directing a lot of my attention away from the show, so I didn't pay that close attention to it. But like I said, what I was paying attention to was interesting to me. And the thing that stood out to me about the Rumble was the Wyatt Brock Lesnar sequence. And part of that's probably my interest level in Brock Lesnar. But I'm not really excited for Bray Wyatt versus Brock at WrestleMania. And
are you excited for Braun Strowman versus Brock Lesnar?
I'll tell you, Braun Strowman, it looked pretty good in the Rumble, I thought. Of that whole sequence, I thought at least his part of it looked interesting. And like when he came out and everything he did up through eliminating Brock, I thought they did a pretty effective job of building him up to be a pretty big monster.
Well, they let him eliminate the three biggest bodies in the match. And
thank God for that.
He really, really is bad at punching. Like, I thought that would be like a thing by now, but he's like on the same level as like Zeus.
Oh, that's not good. He's that bad, huh?
I've never seen someone be this bad. He is like Charlotte Nathan Flair. Jones? I don't remember Nathan Jones punching.
I don't remember Nathan Jones doing a whole lot of anything, really.
Yeah.
I don't remember
a lot. Yeah, I mean, he's good at hugging people.
He definitely was the best body ever in the WWE.
Who was the one that bear hugged Hogan and it looked like he was molesting him? No, it was a double molestation. It was the Yeti and somebody, right?
Yeah, it was the Yeti and the Giant, right?
Yes, the Yeti, the giant mummy that came from a block of ice.
That makes me laugh every time we talk about it. All right, Chris, number 3.
How could you ever forget?
All right. By the way, Bret Hart did go on to say that he does not think Vince McMahon is helping out the WWE TV product.
Bret doesn't like Vince?
I know this is a surprise.
He doesn't think Vince is helping, even though they hit their highest rating in like 7 years.
That's what I was going to go to. And I know that Mark loves to talk about it. Mark, ratings. ratings. I know Jed hates it, but WWE's Raw last night, one of their highest rated shows in a very long time.
I think everyone anticipated The Rock was going to be there, and so they tuned in for that, and they were handsomely rewarded with a very entertaining Rock segment that made me want to throw myself out a fucking window.
I know this is like an unpopular opinion in this group, but I had such a good time with watching The Rock.
Really?
Like, I mean, like, he did his like dumb rock stuff over and over again, and like, you know, whatever. Like, it's not for me, so I'm not like worried about it. But like for dumb rock shit, that was like a lot of fun, I thought.
I'll give you this. I thought his interaction with the New Day was funny. I mean, it's the same. I mean, at this point, there should be a drinking game. If Rock says llama something, take a drink. You know,
I thought the New Day's reaction to it was great. I mean, it was like who he plays off of. That's the thing.
Mm.
They picked some smart people for him to play right. off of. You know, other than the Usos, who are
then they brought the Usos out.
Yeah, well, you know what's funny though? At least the Usos are kind of liked in some circles.
I was gonna say the Usos came out to continue their feud with the New Day. It made perfectly good sense. It doesn't matter whether or not you like the Usos or not. I mean, you know, if the Lucha Dragons had run out, that wouldn't have made any sense. I'm with you, Jed. I liked his interaction with the New Day, even though it was sort of the same old shit. The New Day were funny. The New Day was the best part of that segment for me. But what his whole run up to walking out, where I guess like the gimmick of the week with him was to do the "you all right," you know, have an asshole exchange with somebody, then tap him on the shoulder and go "you all right." Like,
well, yeah, but I mean, he did it with heels, so it's okay to do that.
Sure. I look, I'm with you. You know, it's not for me. And if the rest of the people who saw it liked it, good for them. But I'm allowed to say that I think something is stupid, and I thought it was.
Well, it was stupid, but I mean, what? Go ahead, Gavin.
Can we talk about the two real reasons that Raw's rating was so high last night?
Oh, no.
One, AJ Styles. Two, Bo Dallas rapping.
Bo Dallas rapping was like, all right, don't you think it's weird when the WWE doesn't know who, like, what people are famous?
Yeah.
Like, they always try and tell me, like, Flo Rida is famous. And I'm like, I sit there, I'm like, dude, is this like a Shrek soundtrack? Like, what are they talking about? Why is Flo Rida famous? And then, like, I guess Florida Georgia Line is like famous in some circles, but the WWE really just likes whoever likes them. Mm-hmm. And considers them like a huge deal.
It also might be a local thing. I mean, the people in Miami might like Flo Rida or, you know, whatever. You know, and it makes no difference in the rest of the country. But it's
he is from Florida, so that begs the question. Like Bruce Springsteen doesn't get like overly cheered. Like doesn't get cheered less than Bo Dallas in like Jersey. Like what happened?
Well, maybe. Maybe Bruce can show up at the next Raw from Jersey and play the river.
Huh. Well, that'd be sad.
I think they have a better chance of getting Bon Jovi to come out in the Jersey show than they do Billy Joel.
I thought I said Bruce Springsteen.
You may have, but I was thinking Nassau Coliseum, Long Island, which no longer exists. Help someone. I'm not making any more sense. Chris. Mark's
panicking.
Number three.
But Bo Dallas, we're clear though that Bo Dallas was actually better at rapping than Flo Rida, right?
Yeah, but I mean, and a very very sad moment on Raw for me because I haven't seen Bo Dallas in a while, but oh my God, they demoted him to singlet.
Yeah,
is that bad?
The riff was getting a little much.
Well, Chris, like. He had a horrible, horrible pig body.
Okay. I wear singlets.
Do you?
No.
That's your work uniform, isn't it, Chris?
It is. So, as we all saw, AJ Styles made his WWE debut at the Royal Rumble. And has anybody heard about his contract?
Apparently,
no, I don't care though.
And he gets to keep the name AJ Styles. And the company will make money off of his name for as long as he works with the company. But then if he quits, he gets to have it back and continue to make money with it.
Supposedly he's making in excess of $500K a year.
Oh, good for him.
I hope he sells a lot of t-shirts.
Now, my question is this.
But he's also a good start.
Like, isn't that like kind of around what Dolph Ziggler makes?
I would say that's probably more than Dolph Ziggler makes.
Yeah, that's really good.
I have like, two. Go ahead.
I'm 500,000 a year. That's not bad money.
No, that's really. I thought that was really good, especially because I don't think he's working the schedule. Like, I think he's just working kind of like an RVD schedule.
What, just TV?
The tapings and the pay per views.
Good for him.
I don't know. Oh, fuck.
I have a
honestly,
few questions.
Like, if
about
you're
this.
A major star, like somebody like that, and you're being brought in, they shouldn't have to work our shows. Let that be for the people that work through NXT.
That has always been my thing, and we never would have got to this point with CM Punk, because it's just favorite, like you play favorites, and the big guys get better things. And like, I know that's not fair to everybody, but like, what the fuck are you gonna do?
Listen, here's the thing: AJ Styles is a how many year veteran of wrestling? At least 20 years since I think he was one of the last guys. He was one of the last guys around when WCW shut its doors, and that was 2001. So assuming he had any kind of career before that, we're working on 16, 17 years here at the very least. He's been a champion in two different companies. They're spending all that money on him. Why make him work house shows? Use him like you use Brock Lesnar. Use him as sort of a novelty attraction, and you make the guys that you're you make the Baron Corbins of the world. You make what's another NXT person? Bailey. You make those people do the house shows and everything, and earn their right to be someday AJ Styles. But treat AJ Styles like you do Baron Corbin. That'd be ridiculous.
Okay, so we'll start with Jed. Jed, yes, AJ Katie. Styles. My question is this. They brought in Samoa Joe. They brought in Austin Aries. They've brought in a lot of young, awesome, well, I wouldn't say young, a lot of awesome talent that was out there that WWE normally wouldn't bring in. However,
clear your voice, Chris. Clear your voice. Like, clear your throat.
Shut up. However,
that's a fair point.
They put them all in NXT. Why did AJ get to jump to WWE?
AJ was in a much better position to negotiate, I guess, would be the answer. Quickly, I'm going to hand this over to not me.
I would assume they're paying him exponentially more money than they pay Joe.
You're not going to pay someone.
Well, he's saying what leverage did AJ Styles have, and I think it would be the Japanese career, right?
I would tell you it was.
And you're not gonna pay someone $500,000 a year to work in NXT.
Here's my guess, and I don't know. Gavin has an inside track on this. Maybe I'm wrong about this, but I would assume A, they're paying AJ Styles more money than they paid Aries or Joe. B, they were both coming out of TNA and didn't have any leverage with that particular company. TNA was willing to throw Sting money at AJ Styles to bring him on for their debut on Pop, and the WWE basically, just to stick their thumb in the eye of TNA, paid him exponentially more money to not be on TNA. And now that they've done that, they need to use him correctly. They need to get their investment back.
Gavin?
I don't think TNA wasn't a factor in this.
I think it's a salary issue where they're not going to pay someone $500,000 a year to work NXT and not be on the road and not travel and not be on their main flagship program. I think the other thing is they don't have to teach AJ how to work for television. Obviously with Joe, they don't have to teach him how to work for television because he has TNA experience. Same with Austin Aries. Those guys don't come with the name cachet that AJ has.
Can I add something to that?
What's that?
Can I add something to that? When they brought Joe in, when they brought Joe in, if you guys remember back to the podcast we did when we talked about this right before Joe got signed, I was talking about Triple H saying, hey, NXT is going to be making some changes. We're going to start taking this on the road. We're going to make this sort of a secondary brand. Yes, it's a training brand. It's a feeder system. But we still want to make this its own thing with its own touring schedule, et cetera, et cetera. And I said at the time, they'll probably sign Samoa Joe for that reason, because if they're going to take this on the road, they can't do it with all trainees. They need to get marquee stars that have television name value in order to up the interest for people to come see this. And that's what Joe was. So they pay him the salary to basically be one of the heavies to get people continue to get people interested in NXT. That's not why they brought AJ Styles in. They did not bring AJ Styles in to pick up the marquee value of NXT, nor do they need to. They've already got a few people. And, they've got Joe. I mean, NXT is actually kind of top-heavy right now in terms of the amount of guys they have. I mean, with Sami Zayn still on that schedule, plus they've got Joe, plus they've got Apollo Crews kind of, circling that position. They've got Finn Balor as the champion and Baron Corbin. They've got enough guys right now at the top. They'll have Austin Aries as well. They don't really need a whole lot more at this point. They certainly don't need AJ Styles. The main roster needs AJ Styles.
Okay. Then I've got this other question. Gavin, this is to you, because we've talked about it before. Huh?
What did that have to do with anything?
What do you mean?
What was Mark saying?
I was saying, in short, in 50 words or less, I was saying they don't need AJ Styles right now to boost an NXT product that's going to be making that's going to be growing and making changes. A year or so ago when they brought Joe in, that was the case.
Okay. I understand.
I'm glad Chris is with me. I feel like I'm just doing this podcast with Chris now.
No, you're not. Gavin, we talked about years ago, how is AJ Styles and TNA and WWE hasn't scooped him up? And one of the things that was said was is that AJ's too small. Wasn't big enough.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, if he would have stayed in TNA and not went to Japan, do you think he ends up in WWE?
Absolutely not.
Agreed.
I think if he did make the move, it would have been to NXT. He wouldn't have gone straight to the main roster. He would be in NXT right now, feuding with Finn or with Joe or with whoever down there right now, Rhino, I guess. But he wouldn't have been number three in the Royal Rumble, squaring off against Roman Reigns and going for 30 minutes before being eliminated by an upper mid-card heel in Kevin Owens, and then making his singles debut against Chris Jericho the next night.
So it was the Bullet Club.
I think he eventually would have. I don't think it was even so much the Bullet Club as it was the fact that he proved that he could perform on a global stage against a variety of opponents and built his name value up. It's also a matter of who's in charge of going out and getting talent now versus who was in charge of going and getting talent 5 years ago.
In the absence of John Laurinaitis and in the presence of Triple H, small indie guys get a better chance, in other words?
Yeah, yes. As evidenced by the signing of Pac and Austin Aries and Finn Balor and Kenta and AJ and whoever else.
If Laurinaitis had lost his position years ago, would Nigel have ever had to retire?
I don't know. Would he have had hepatitis?
Well, that was kind of the question. I just didn't kind of want to outwardly say he has hepatitis. But where did he get it?
I don't know if he got it from, like, the normal where you get hepatitis or from people bleeding. I don't know where he picked it up.
Well, imagine the WWE has sort of outlawed blood for a long time, except in extreme circumstances or, God forbid, someone gets hard-weighed. I don't really know what the whole Nigel McGuinness story was, but if the question is, had Triple H been the one doing talent signing back when Nigel McGuinness was a thing, would they have signed Nigel McGuinness? And subsequently, then would he have gotten hepatitis? Yes, and probably not. I mean, yes, they would have signed him. And again, if he's not being exposed to blood on an ongoing basis, he probably doesn't get hepatitis.
Didn't he get a lot of concussions as well?
Yeah, he had his bell ringing.
Well, were the concussions to cover for the hepatitis?
TNA sounds like a very unsafe place to work.
He got concussed before TNA, didn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, I think he would have definitely not been there as long, you know?
All right, well, final thing on AJ, and it was something that Gavin brought up, and Mark, we'll go to you with this. Gavin said that and I didn't see it, this is pure Gavin's opinion, which for some is relevant, for others is total shit. That the AJ Jericho match kind of sucked.
I was only half paying attention to it, so it didn't keep my interest.
After having a chance to think about it, let me qualify that statement. The match was fine. the match sucked in comparison to the expectations you would have if someone told you AJ Styles was wrestling Chris Jericho.
Yeah, but I mean, like, they weren't going to go for it on a pay-per-view level.
No. It just, even for a TV match, though, it just seemed like the match was slow. It seemed like they were a half step off of everything. And it seemed like, I get that they wanted the name recognition of putting him in with Chris Jericho and one of their major stars and a reliable hand in the ring and all that stuff. But it just seemed like he would have been better suited to go out there and show everybody what AJ Styles is capable of, even if it's against a guy like Cody Rhodes as Stardust or Neville. Send him out there and let him show for 5 or 10 minutes what a fast-paced, fluid AJ Styles match looks like. And then move him into the stuff with Jericho.
I don't know. Maybe that's not what they wanted out of him. Remember, the WWE has a
not.
That they want.
And Jed, do you think there's a possibility that we'll never see a Styles clash in WWE?
No. He keeps going for it. If they wanted to have him actually have that as a move.
He had somebody up in what I thought was going to be the Styles clash at the Rumble, and I kept waiting for him to do it because I think I hated the wrestler, and I couldn't tell you now who it was. But I remember thinking, like, as I'm watching it, I'm like, yes, hurt him bad. And I, for the life of me, don't remember who that was.
I just know that there was all that stuff about people's necks and all of that, and I'm wondering if there's a gun shy about having him use it.
Obviously, I don't watch Raw. I don't think there's any real debate on that. But is Styles going to be
what
a
would
heel
the debate
or a
be?
Face?
Well,
there's a contingent of people swearing to God Chris watches wrestling.
Yes. Chris is like, I don't watch Raw, and everyone's like, oh, bull fucking shit.
Yes.
I see you watching Raw every night.
Is he going to be a heel or a face? Or is he
What's
a tweener hill? Right now?
It's going to be a mountain.
It's a hill.
A heel, okay. Or a face.
Who, AJ?
Yeah.
Mega face.
I was going to say, I think he's going to be whatever the site designs he is.
You don't have a choice right now.
I mean, unless they involve him in the story where he's like Triple H's guy or something, I think he's going to be what the crowd dictates he is, which is a face.
Okay. I was just wondering.
And it appears his first feud is going to be with Kevin Owens. So,
all right, lose that.
So, are we for sure thinking that Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens is going to be a thing at WrestleMania?
Not at all.
Because that seems to be the rumor.
Sami is probably going to be on NXT TakeOver the day before WrestleMania. So I wouldn't expect Sami on the main roster until after WrestleMania.
Hmm.
And I would expect Kevin Owens versus AJ Styles.
At WrestleMania?
Yes.
Hmm.
Huh.
Huh.
Chris, start a list before I fucking kill myself.
I'm very underwhelmed by the potential card for this WrestleMania. I gotta be honest.
Well, there are some injuries, Mark.
There are, but...
Chris, the goddamn card list.
I think they should have drove a dump truck full of money to Austin's house and, you know, agreed to
and
whatever...
fix his neck?
And, no, he's said before, if he wanted to, he could go. He just doesn't want to. And had him in the Brock Lesnar have a match.
You're gonna have him go from not wrestling with a bad neck. Now I understand, like, maybe he could go. I'm not saying he can't. But then you're gonna put him in a match with Brock Lesnar?
Hell yes. That's your main event for WrestleMania in Dallas, Texas. Brock Lesnar, Steve Austin, Texas
Death. WrestleMania 32, watch a hero die.
I tell you what,
Steve Austin could wrestle Heath Slater and it would be the main event of the show.
Throw Sting in the match too and just fucking put it into everything.
No, we don't
Steve Austin versus Heath Slater could main event WrestleMania. It doesn't matter who he would wrestle. Hearing Austin's explanation on why he doesn't want to come back makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, he's shooting Redneck Island.
It's not even that. he said that if he thought he could come back for one match, that he would come back for one match. But he knows that once he gets back out there and gets in the ring, it's going to be in his blood again. He's going to go through the withdrawals of not being in the ring again. He's going to want to get back out there and do it on a regular basis.
Here's a thought. Here's a thought. Somebody with more brains could just tell him, no, well, this is what we need you for. This is what we're going to pay you for. Please don't. And that's it. And then you're going to go home.
Steve Austin's on his fourth marriage, and he's going to find the self-control to say no now.
No. I'm telling you, like, somebody in
the he's going to listen to somebody in his life that means a lot to tell him.
I was thinking Vince or Triple H. Like, this is what we're paying you for. This is what we want.
Vince and Triple H. They don't like using talent up and spinning them out the other side.
Maybe I'm pitching a dream scenario.
I can see your point where Vince would say, you know what, I understand that you coming back to work for a couple of years would literally make us tens of millions of dollars, but we don't need that right now.
I just feel like somewhere, you know, out there, there's a world that exists where Vince and or Triple H say to Austin, we only want you for this one match, and then you should go back to your life.
What?
So I'm on hallucinogens, right? I'm on drugs. Is that what we're saying? Yes. Okay. All right.
Yes.
You're on the same drug Stone Cold would be on after like 2 months of being on the road.
Chris, number 7.
Before we get into the list, John Cena is back in the gym already. Ugh.
That's you.
So
I hope he's back for WrestleMania and wins the title. I hope they have a special Money in the Bank that he wins and cashes in that night.
And Gavin, I know you put into Stardust. The rumor is he will be Stardust through at least WrestleMania. And then they'll believe he'll do something with Stephen Amell. So no end to Stardust yet. And the only other thing that Gavin had put before we move on to the list is that Matt Hardy's Twitter is the best.
Is Matt Hardy still a lunatic?
Yeah.
Sweet.
He just tweets everything in character now,
which is good,
and makes fun of The Undertaker and literally everyone else in wrestling.
Because Matt Hardy has the right to make fun of anybody in wrestling.
He's had a pretty good career.
Yeah, he's doing it in character. I'll allow it.
Why can't Matt Hardy make fun of people?
I guess he can. There's so much more to make fun of Matt Hardy for than, you know, I don't know. I was going to say The Undertaker, but then I remembered everyone on this podcast hates The Undertaker. Somewhere out there, Pat's yelling, The Undertaker sucks. Fuck him. So
I'll do it.
Yeah, can you do that for us real quick, Jed?
The Undertaker fucking sucks.
Thank you.
At least Matt Hardy understands, like, it's a business and to be funny.
I suppose.
Undertaker's fucking hiding somewhere and smacked down in the back, being like, oh, I can't be seen. I'm supposed to be a ghost.
Yeah, did you see the Young Bucks tweet about Triple H?
Yes.
No.
Where I can't remember if it was Nick or Matt, but one of them said their wife got excited and said, hey, look, Triple H just did your crotch shot thing.
That's funny. It is funny.
Good for the Bucks.
Do you think they ever show up in the WWE? Or they always find other gigs to try to avoid the shit?
They make better than WWE money doing what they're doing.
No, that's my point. Like, they ever get to a point where they've topped out outside of the WWE and push for better money in the WWE, or they just kind of, you know, they'll always find another gig to not have to go to the WWE.
Well, as of right now, I think they're riding that. But I mean, like, you know, everything has a point where it dies. But I love that the Young Bucks, like, just do their thing. Like, they can just. They can make, you know, better money than the Dudley Boys are making, better money than the Usos are making, just doing whatever they want. They own most of PWG now, I guess. Like, they
approach. Can you imagine the Meltzer driver on one of the Ascension?
Yeah, that's not how. But when the WWE, like, asked them, they were like, yeah, we want it so we can still do PWG, and you have it in writing that we never have to break up. And it's, you know, the WWE wasn't willing to do that. And it's like, that's great. Like, I love that they have the marketing, you know, they have the bargaining chip. Now, granted, the WWE will never, ever, ever sign them under those circumstances. But you know, at least they stood up and said it.
Good for them.
Yeah, but you know what, though? If WWE did sign that and then they signed the Young Bucks, like, instantly you'd hear, like, Young Bucks clashing backstage, question mark, and then, like, you're like, oh, no, this is already dying.
Well, the Royal Rumble just happened, and
just the list.
We saw some surprises, preferably AJ Styles at number 3.
Chris, just mix things up and read us number 10 right off the bat. Don't even tell us what the title of the thing is.
Okay.
Is this like a Jeopardy thing where Chris reads
what
10, and then we guess what the list is?
Yeah.
Excellent.
All right. I got to get to number 10 because there was 15. Hold on.
Okay, no, read number 15, then, you jackass.
Oh, okay. Calm down.
Jackass.
Bob Backlund, 2000.
Okay.
Greatest Samoans of all time.
I'm going to assume this is supposed to be a timely list, so biggest Royal Rumble surprises.
I'll give that to you, Mark.
Woo!
Most disappointing Royal Rumble.
The 15 most surprising WWE Royal Rumble entrants of all time.
What do you mean you're going to give that to Mark? Mark specifically nailed the title of that.
2 + 2, 4.
It's like,
all right, close
enough. You're waiting at the, like, the finish line. Jeff Gordon crosses, and you're like, "Well, Jeff, I mean, close enough. You finished the race the fastest.
Guess we'll give you a trophy."
So Bob Backlund in the year 2000.
Sure, that was when he was doing the "I'm the President" bit, right?
I'm not going to remember a single one of these.
That was several years after the president bit, but close enough.
Number 14 is Haku in 2001.
I'm sure it was happened. I don't remember anything about it. Though, didn't he last really long and, like, almost to the end?
Because everybody was afraid to.
I think he was the final four guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, like, I remember him being, like, surprisingly long in that match.
At the time he showed up in 2001 Rumble, he was the WCW Hardcore Champion, winning the belt the week prior at WCW Pay-Per-View Sin.
Okay.
Huh. Not exactly. I forgot that Pay-Per-View was a thing.
Not exactly Luger showing up to the initial Nitro, but still pretty fun.
This would have been a good list with Pat.
Number 13.
Pat would have been like, see, remember, like, he won it with, like, on Sin, like, the week before. And, like, I would go, yeah, I remember that, like, to make it seem like I know shit, too, even though I don't.
You're ruining the magic of this podcast by admitting you don't know things when you say you do, you know that? Like, why are you letting people behind the curtain?
Yeah, I know that, man.
Number 13 is Rob Van Dam in 2009.
I'll be honest, I don't really remember any of these happening.
All right, Chris, number one.
Number 12 is Roddy Piper and Jimmy Snuka in 2008.
That sounds like it would have been fun. Did Piper
hit? That sounds like something that would have surprised me.
Did in that match? Did Piper hit Snuka with the pineapple with the coconut?
Don't know. I'm hoping I get to one that you guys know.
It in the paragraph?
No, it doesn't say that in the paragraph.
What does it say?
It says, 2008 Royal Rumble took a place in the hallowed halls of Madison Square Garden.
Woo!
That's
the one Cena came back at number 30.
Okay.
That would make sense, because I was in the bar down the street from my apartment at the time. And I remember he came back, and the whole bar was like, yes! But wait a minute, we all hate John Cena.
How dare you?
Mankind and Dude Love, 1998. Number 11.
Oh, yeah. That was the Three Faces of Foley Rumble, where he showed up three different gimmicks. That was funny.
Went 0 for 3.
You don't remember any of these, Jed? Not a single one?
No, I remember that one.
Okay.
Well, he went 0 for 3.
Can we count Mankind but not Dude Love? Because I'm pretty sure after Mankind got tossed, we all knew what was coming.
Okay.
Like, yeah. You had Cactus Jack, and Cactus Jack got tossed with Van Mankind, came back out, and you're like, oh, I get it.
Number 10
Am I wrong about it?
No. Number 10 is Drew Carey, 2001.
Certainly a shock. Offense.
I don't even remember why he was in the Rumble, like what the setup to that was.
Weren't they in Cleveland that year?
I thought it had something to do with Kane.
The final entry to the Rumble was actually supposed to go to a member of the tag team Lowdown. So when D'Lo and Chaz went backstage to ask Vince which of the two had earned the spot, he informed them that their spot had been given to Drew Carey.
Over the years, the amount of wrestlers who have had to watch people that are the celebrities or, you know, friends of somebody get better opportunities than the people who like work hard on the road and everything has got to be enormous.
Tell them to be more important than those celebrities.
Just like, you know, I always think about that. You know, these guys that, you know, like the Heath Slaters of the world in history of wrestling, you know, how they've done everything that's asked of them, but they never really caught on with the fans, and they were always like a good hand, but they watched other, you know, they watched other people get better opportunities than they did doing maybe, you know, a tenth of the work. And just how that makes them feel and, you know, the frustration involved with it. Or do they even care? And it's just like, whatever. I get paid a lot of money to do this, and I don't really care. If Drew Carey gets to my spot in the Royal Rumble.
Number 9 is Mick Foley, 2004.
Didn't that, was that his feud with Edge or his feud with Orton?
That was when he beat up Test. Yeah. And then... And then he went out after Orton and eliminated himself in the process.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think I watched that one.
Gotcha.
I did.
Number 8 is Kurt Angle in 2005.
Where was he?
Well, I was going to surprise, but wasn't he in WWE at the time?
He was competing in a triple threat match with Big Show and JBL for the championship. After losing the match, Angle confronted somebody backstage and basically bullied his way into their spot. Angle went nuts.
He's an Olympic hero.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Number 7 is the announced team, 2012.
Again, after the first one happened, you kind of got the idea.
Was that around the time that Michael Cole was like active wrestling?
Where are we supposed to like get the list for, Chris?
Sorry, Jed.
I hate you.
Thanks.
Well, I mean, it's not your fault.
How about this? Number 6. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll just go with Awesome Kong.
Oh, that was surprising.
Well, I don't understand why you hesitated on that one.
I don't know how to say her name that they used in WWE.
Karma?
Okay. It's spelled Kharma. How am I supposed to know that?
What did you think that Kha meant?
I don't know.
What's her face had the baby?
There's a huge button. I hope that child dies.
That's terrible. By the way, they live near you, these people. You want to go pay them a visit?
Absolutely not. I hate them.
You want me to tell you what hospital they're at? So you can go pay them a visit and see their second child that was just born?
How about no?
No?
I honestly wanted... You know that really terrible movie where the Joker blows up the hospital?
You mean The Dark Knight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to make that kid watch that movie so he sucks.
Okay.
Number 5 is Booker T and Diesel in 2011.
Well, Diesel for sure was a lot of fun in that year.
I'm a big fan of Kevin Nash and Battle Royals.
Number 4 was Chris Jericho in 2013.
Ah, yes, the comeback that was the year that he just ran around ridiculously happy and didn't really do anything, wasn't it?
I don't remember it.
Jericho.
I remember the year Jericho should have won it, and fucking Sheamus did.
What website would ever hire us?
Number three, Bubba Ray Dudley, 2015.
That was surprising. Hey, it's Bubba Ray. And then people on the internet were like, holy shit, Bubba Ray is going to win it. And I was like, wait, what? What do you think is going to happen? And then he got eliminated and everybody was like, what the fuck? The WWE sucks. They bury everyone. And I was like, what? How did we get here? It was nice to see him.
Bubba Ray's going to win the whole thing. All right, take it easy. Jesus Christ.
I remember being slightly disappointed that it wasn't the Bully Ray character, but then realizing it can't be the Bully Ray character.
Copyright?
Just general climate that's of WWE and things that the Bully Ray character said.
Mm. It's 2016. They can't fucking do that shit.
Yeah, I mean, it was a fun character for TNA, which is essentially a large independent promotion that can do whatever it wants. But
independent promotions stop running when they don't return profit?
Absolutely not.
Suck our dick, West Virginia.
Number two is Edge 2010.
That was a nice surprise.
I don't remember.
I think we should be a little bit lower on the list for nice surprise. But okay.
Well, I feel like this list is already completely off because we're down to where we only have one spot left. And really, there's only one correct answer for this, but there's a whole slew of other people that should be on this list that won't be.
Well, number one, as you can guess, is John Cena, 2008.
That was shocking.
That was
the best job they've ever done. That's the best job they've ever done was keeping something a secret.
Yeah.
That's the one I was referring to when I was in the bar full of people, and because it was expected that he was going to be out for longer, so then he showed up, points to his shoulder or his bicep or whatever, it was like, oh, look at me, I'm healed. And people were like, yay, and then they remembered they hated him.
How can anybody hate John Cena?
There was a bar full of people that did. Some of them had their hands taped and had belts with them in a bar.
So who should be on the list that isn't?
Well, the first name that I'll throw out is the year that Mr. Perfect showed back up.
And then
he was in it until the Final Four, and everybody was like, holy cow, Mr. Perfect's still alive and he can still go.
Remember, that was the year that I think Maven was in it and The Undertaker put him through the hot popcorn machine, right?
I think that's the same year.
I just remember Perfect showed up and he was there forever.
Yeah, I feel like
it could be. I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying I don't remember.
No, I know. I was exclusively talking to you. Not everything is about Gavin.
Most things are.
Yep.
But I always felt like Perfect's return and the surprise went over so well that was sort of what started the run of having the surprise entrance, because it was him and it was Goldust, and I feel like there was one more in that rumble, and everybody was just like thrilled to see him. What
was that? The Honky Tonk Man?
No, it was people were thrilled to see.
What year was this?
2000 something.
Chris, year?
2008.
Thank you.
Yeah, because then I remember
seeing it came back. That's not the Perfect Rumble.
See, I remember a couple Perfect matches. But
what year was the Perfect Rumble that we're talking about?
2002.
No idea.
Are you just making up numbers now, Chris?
Mr. Perfect makes a surprise comeback at the Royal Rumble on January 20th, 2002.
Thank you. All right. So here's who's in the Rumble. Goldust came in at number two. Big Boss was number three.
Well, who's number one?
Rikishi. You want me to go through the whole list?
Well, no, I just was just wondering, but...
Yes, okay. So 2002 is the year that Maven got the shit kicked out of him by The Undertaker. Dallas Page's in it. Let's see. Farooq, Mr. Perfect, Kurt Angle. Mr. Perfect came in at number 25. No wonder he was there till the end. Booker T was number 30. So I guess he was still an active wrestler at this point, wasn't he? That would make sense. Yeah, I don't know who else on this list would have been somebody that people were like going crazy about. Other than Goldust.
I definitely remember when Perfect's music hit, the place just kind of went bananas. So, all this, when Mark completely correctly guessed what this list was, and Chris said, I guess I'll give you credit for it, I just assumed that Perfect would be like number two on here behind John Cena. That's why I get to thinking that maybe.
The final five guys, Mr. Perfect, Kurt Angle, Big Show, Kane, Rob Van Dam, Booker T.
And
Steve Austin eliminated a lot of people.
Yeah, he did.
And Steve Austin, Triple H, Steve Austin, Triple H both eliminated the Hurricane. The Hurricane took two people to eliminate him.
Yeah, I remember that. He came in, he grabbed them both by the throat like he was going to double choke slam them, and Austin and Triple H just kind of looked at each other like, really? And then they tossed him. So, Jed, I think you were taking a nap because you're a sick boy. When I mentioned this in the group chat, but today, as we record, marks the 2-year anniversary that CM Punk said, thanks, but no thanks.
It's been the best 2 years of my life.
I find that to be a big fat lie.
Yeah,
it hasn't been bad. I don't miss CM Punk at all, but I think you could definitely say that the roster could use him.
I don't know.
I miss his music more than I miss him.
I don't really feel like the WWE misses is missing something without CM Punk. I mean, I think they had Daniel Bryan there for a while, kind of holding that spot. They've had the Shield guys. There's been a lot of focus on. They have AJ Styles now. I mean, you know, what did CM Punk do? You know, that he lended some degree of indie credibility to the WWE roster. Well, they've got that pretty well handled in spades now.
And one of these days, can we do a podcast where we talk about how Chris Hero changed the course of WWE?
I love Chris Hero, but I watch his Snapchats, and I'm like, can you just please stop eating?
Stop eating?
Like, he, like, makes, like, lasagna and, like, portobello mushroom sandwiches and stuff on Snapchat, and you're just like, dude, like, I guess he's, like, kind of just fucking with people.
But at the same time, not.
Yeah.
Like, that's just him. But if Chris Hero would have lost weight and gotten in shape, then Roman Reigns wouldn't have been in the Shield. And so, here we are.
Here we are.
I think that's a rabbit hole worth going down at some point.
Sure.
Sounds good. Well, Mark, how about plugs?
New study says Florida is number one for retiring.
That's not new. Plugs.
Thought I'd pass that on as I was gazing at Twitter. All right, plugs, Radeligen Broadcasting Network. It's RADULICH. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, and now YouTube. If you go to my YouTube page, Mark Radeligen, we'll be uploading our movie reviews and some Long Road to Ruin. Real quick thing, if you've listened to the latest Long Road to Ruin, we talked about the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And about 5-10 minutes of Return of the King, it cut out on us. So, sorry about that, folks. We'll pick up with Return of the King a week from Thursday, or whenever you're hearing this. The next show, when we do the Hobbit, we'll do a little bit of Return of the King and then jump into the Hobbit trilogy. We've got on the Metal Hammer of Doom side, we've got a Killswitch Engage retrospective up. We'll be reviewing Megadeth Dystopia. And the new Anthrax album somewhere in the near future. So give that a listen. And next week, or depending on whenever you're listening to this, check out the Radeligen Broadcasting Network Return of the Movie Review Club. We'll be reviewing Kung Fu Panda 3.
Oh.
Also, I'm on an upcoming episode of Source Material with Jesse Starcher. We'll be talking about Deadpool and George Lucas petitions, because I really want to punch those people. And that's about it. So R-E-D-U-L-I-C-H. I'm also M-A-R-K R-E-D-U-L-I-C-H on Twitter. Mark Rattledge. Hit me up anytime.
All right. Well, before... Wait a second. Did I just hear Gavin?
Yeah, I rejoined. You seem bummed out.
Well, I just didn't want to have to say it. I've never said it.
Well, we've also got an interview with Timmy Lou Retton getting ready to go up that I had a chance to sit and talk to him. Very entertaining young man from North Carolina that I think has some nice insight into the business and is worth your attention if you're a fan of independent wrestling. Other than that, hopefully we should have some big announcements regarding the Casual Heroes WrestleCast coming up in the very near future. Other than that, I guess we'll do this again in about a month. So, Kramer, take us out.
It's time for the outro. The Casual Heroes. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, do the Instagram shit. All are at The Casual Heroes. The website is thecasualheroes.com. You can go there for the latest podcasts, the articles, and all that shit. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher under The Casual Heroes. Please give us 5-star ratings because we yearn for your acceptance. We yearn for acceptance from the outside world. Please love us. And I think that's all. So thanks for listening to the show. We appreciate it. You guys kick ass. And we quit this bitch. All right. Peace.